This is Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees, and you're listening to Mike Martin on WKMC.
AM 1370 WKMC, and today we're talking to a man who, has accomplished in many areas. A singer, songwriter, actor, musician, director, painter. Did I cover it all?
Just about.
He's also a monkey, not a hoo-hoo-hoo. He's a hey-hey monkey. It's Mickey Dolenz. Good morning, Mickey.
Well, good morning to you. How you doing there, buddy?
I am doing great. And I thank you for taking a little time to talk to us this morning.
Thank you. Look forward to coming out your way.
You're going to be at the Bryce Jordan Center, as a matter of fact.
We're coming to your town.
Of State College, and we'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. But now you're in your 35th year with the Monkees.
Yes, that's true. Did you have to remind me?
But you've been in show...
Thank you.
You've been in show business all your life, though.
Yes, that's true, actually. Well, since my first screen test, if you include that, my first screen test, I was 6 years old, so that was a long time ago.
And your parents were actors as well.
Yes, my dad was an actor, my mom was an actor, and an actress, and a singer. They were both singers also, and so...
So what was it like growing up in a showbiz family?
Well, it wasn't a showbiz family in the traditional sense. My father was, you know, from Europe. I mean, he was born in Italy. So when he came over to the States, he was, you know, right off the boat. And he wanted to be an actor, but he did not want to buy into the whole, Hollywood scene. We never lived in Beverly Hills. We never lived in the Hollywood scene. We lived out on a ranch in the valley.
Right.
And so I got a very, I don't know what you call it, I guess, traditional, you know, down-home kind of...
Keep it as normal as possible, yeah.
Normal upbringing. Yeah. I didn't get into that whole Hollywood Beverly Hills thing, which can be, you know, very difficult.
Corruptive.
Well, it's just not real.
Right.
It's just so unreal, you know. It's just not real, and I'm very fortunate in that sense. You know, we lived on ranches, and my father... did all of his own work around the house, and he was wealthy, you know, he didn't have to, but it was just that, I guess a little bit of just learning what's kind of important.
Right. Now, in the 50s, you were Corky from the Circus Boy,
yes,
the TV
yes,
show
true, yes,
Circus
right.
Boy,
yeah.
And you toured the country with
that
an...
That was my first series, yeah.
With an elephant named Bimbo.
Yep, I opened for the elephant. I'm serious, I did. I'd come out and with my little guitar, because I learned to play guitar very young, Spanish guitar, actually.
Right.
And I learned, and I came out, and I would come out and do, you know, two or three songs like... Purple People Eater or, you know, something of that nature.
Right.
And then the elephant would come out and do his tricks. I opened for the elephant. He'd come out and wander around the stage and stand up on his hind legs, and I'd, you know, stand underneath him. Ta-da!
Any trouble?
That elephant was a total pain in the ass. That elephant, what a diva. You know, you could never find a dressing room big enough for that elephant. It's like, and if this rider wasn't there, if the... You know, if the M&Ms and the peanuts and the stuff were not in the dressing room, he would really get pissed off. It was ridiculous.
Sprayed down with Perrier water.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, and we're talking a swimming pool of Perrier water, you know.
And have its own tour bus. Yeah, the list goes on and on. Now, you landed the part of the drummer several years later on the TV series The Monkees, and you didn't even play the drums, right?
Well, I had played. I mean, I had been a musician, so I had, you know, been around all kinds of different music. I played, but my instrument of choice at the time was guitar, like I say. I was playing rhythm guitar in another rock and roll band. And so I had played the drums before, but when they cast me as the drummer, of course, in the show, and I said, excuse me, I auditioned. My audition piece was Johnny B. Good. on the guitar, and they said, well, we have enough guitar players, and we need a drummer, and I said, well, okay, hey, what the heck, because you got to understand, at the time of the casting of the show, I was approaching it, and I still do to some degree, I approach it as an actor slash kind of entertainer,
right.
That is being cast to play the part of this imaginary drummer in an imaginary rock and roll group. Now, the fact that eventually, later on, of course, we went out on the road, and we're still going out on the road.
Yes.
And we play everything, we sing everything, we started writing. That's really, I think, the fascinating story behind the whole monkey thing, is how that happened and how this imaginary group that really didn't exist all of a sudden became a real group that does exist.
And it made you guys superstars.
Yeah. What a story.
You were a superstar. I mean, that just made it, it was huge, huge for its time. Now, the show's a lot of fun to watch. Is there anything in your mind that stands out about making the show?
Well, I remember it all as being one long show. You know,
right.
It wasn't like, I can't remember any specific episode that well, because it all ran and one thing ran into the other.
Sure.
But I remember that I enjoyed doing the show a lot, because I'd had, obviously I had experience as an actor and had done television, and so I was very, very comfortable doing the television show. And I remember that we all, you know, really clicked comedy-wise. And I think that's one of the strengths of the show, is that you look at it and you can see that these four guys really clicked. And that's what the screen tests were all about, was finding four guys that really kind of clicked, as it were, comedy-wise.
Right. Now, I have to tell you, I'm a big fan of the show itself and a fan of the Monkees.
Well,
and my brother and I, each Christmas Eve, we have to watch the Monkees Christmas show. It's become quite a tradition.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Every Christmas Eve.
Wow, that's great.
So everybody knows what I'm about.
That was a good one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was a good episode. It was a good show, you know, and it stood up over the years, I think, because the humor wasn't topical and it wasn't satirical. It was just funny.
Yeah.
The writers were very, very good writers, and I'd like to think, of course, that we had something to do with it also,
mm-hmm.
obviously.
Right.
But the bottom line was, it was written well and directed well, and you know who directed most of those episodes of The Monkees? A little bit of trivia for you. A guy named Jim Frawley, and Jim Frawley is now directing Ally McBeal.
Oh, really?
And he directed the pilot of Ally McBeal.
Wow.
He was nominated for an Emmy for directing the pilot of Ally McBeal.
But you won't see Ally McBeal running around in strange romps and.
but it's funny though. But I don't know if you've watched the show, but it is funny that they do have those little fantasy moments.
Uh-huh.
You know, in Ally McBeal.
Right, but now you've been quite busy through the '80s and the '90s and up to now. Basically, you've directed a few productions and TV shows of your own. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, what happened was, about 1975, I got lucky. I went over to England. I was doing a play, actually. And I went over to England, and I started directing and producing over there, directing and producing television shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over there for basically 3 months and ended up staying 15 years. So that was a very, very a good opportunity for me, because it gave me the chance to get away from, you know, monkey business and not have that the only string to my bow.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent the better part of 15 years over there in England,
mm-hmm.
just directing and producing television shows. And I still do that. I still kind of call it my day job.
Right.
I just sold a show to the Disney Channel, actually. We're closing this week on that show, a series for the Disney Channel. And we go into production on that while I'm on tour.
Right.
And I write, and I have, you know, some film credits. I just finished a film. I directed a film in New Orleans just 2 months ago. In fact, I just saw the final cut just a couple of days ago. And hopefully I'll be doing another couple of films.
Wow.
But yeah, it's nice, because it gives me a chance to, you know, to get real. And it's very, very easy, as you can imagine, you know, in a situation like mine. You really get very, very wrapped up in yourself and wrapped
mm-hmm.
up in all the illusions and stuff. That's the hard part, I would say. That's the tough part of being successful in this business, is you get a very distorted view of yourself and of the world.
Yeah. Who do you think was your biggest inspiration, your influence?
Musically or
growing up? Anything.
Well, there was all kinds of people. I mean, I would start with comedy-wise, I would say people like Red Skelton and Danny Kaye and Jerry Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
I would say musically, Chuck Berry, Little Richard, Fats Domino, Jerry Lee Lewis, the hard rockers,
mm-hmm.
early Elvis. And then after that, after the hard rock, then it would have been people like Eric Burdon, and it would have been people like Van Morrison and Them, the original Them.
Mm-hmm.
So it tended to be the harder rock kind of thing.
Sure, Sure. Now, you know, it was funny. I was talking to Engelbert Humperdinck the other a few days ago, and he said about Jimi Hendrix opened for him in England a lot.
Yeah.
And then I told him the Monkees story about how he opened for the Monkees.
Yeah.
But the teenagers didn't want to hear Jimi Hendrix. They wanted to hear the Monkees. So,
yeah.
You know, he did some things on stage and kind of walked away from it.
Yeah, no, it was a great show, and we got along great. He was a lovely guy.
Right.
But it's true. I mean, I do a bit of that on stage in the concert.
Mm-hmm.
I do a little bit of that about how he used to come out and do Foxy Lady and... In the middle of, like, purple haze, kids are going, "We want the Monkees, baby, baby." Kind of embarrassing.
Now you started...
A little embarrassing.
Well, then we will move on.
Well, we had a great time. He was a lovely man and
sure.
A very kind man and a lovely guy. He was so talented, obviously.
Right.
There's a case, you know, of just getting... Letting reality just get a little bit away from you there.
Mm-hmm. Now, you started painting a few years ago. What made you decide to do that?
Well, I was asked by KLOS, actually, a radio station out here in L.A., a hard rock, classic rock radio station.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing a thing called, oh, gosh, I can't remember the name of the actual event now, but it was to raise money, basically, for AMFAR, for the AIDS research.
Right.
And they just asked, they spread the word around that they were looking for celebrities to contribute original works of art,
mm-hmm.
And that they would auction them off and raise money for the charity. And
whether you could do it,
me
or
and
not.
I'm sorry.
Whether you could do it or not.
Well, I guess anybody that couldn't do it wouldn't have, you know, bothered.
Correct.
That,
yeah,
I suppose,
right.
I don't know. But I had painted as a child, and I had over the years done some painting. Only for myself. I'd never tried to do anything with it. I never expressed a desire. You know, I really never got into it professionally,
mm-hmm.
or anything like that. It was
mm-hmm.
totally for my own benefit.
Right.
And but then when they asked me, I thought I didn't have anything to do at the time. I don't recall what it was. And I said, well, hell, why not? You know. So
sure.
I broke out the paint, and I painted actually a kind of a. An artist impression or rendering, I guess, of the AIDS virus, the actual virus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big science fan,
right.
And I love studying science. And I, you know, I have a microscope, and I, you know, I'm always, you know, getting involved in some level of the sciences, mostly the physical sciences, like
mm-hmm.
biology and chemistry and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And I went out and I did a little research, and I did this kind of rendering of the AIDS virus. And it went down very, very well at the auction thing, and the head of the curator of the artworks, he asked me, he says, "Do you have any more of this stuff?" And I said, "Well, no, I don't." And he says, "Well, if you ever do, let me know, because I'd love to represent you as an artist." And that kind of started it out, and years later I had like 20, 30 pieces. They've all sold. I've sold them all over the world. And
sure.
I have two lithographs on my website, which, by the way, is MickeyDolans.com.
We were getting there.
MickeyDolans.com.
Check it out.
Check it out. Cool.
Log on. Something you wouldn't have heard 35 years ago. Somebody would have said, "Wow, man, what's that?"
Well, I actually had my first computer in 77.
Oh, well, you were ahead of your time. You had the Moog? I was arguing with
I
the guy. Was it Moog or was it Moog?
It depends who you ask. To be honest, I never could get a straight answer either. I think his name was Robert Moog.
Yeah.
But I'm not. But you know, it's the guy that invented it. But you know,
right.
It's.
So you were I'm telling you, you were ahead of your time.
Yeah.
You don't believe me, but you were.
Okay. What can I say?
Now you and the other fellows, you've embarked on the 35th anniversary tour. I'm reminding you again. What made you decide to go on that tour?
Well, the kind of the same thing that always decides it for us, or for me anyway. Like I told you, I have this day job that I do.
Right.
And then every once in a while, every few years, with like clockwork, some promoter, producer kind of type person will will call up and contact each of us individually or... you know, en masse and say, listen, I think there's a market out there for you guys to tour. And we decide, depending on our availability and what we're up to and at the time and our mood and family commitments or professional commitments or whatever, you know, we decide whether or not we want to do it. And that's always the way it's worked. We've really never had an organization that is sort of dedicated, you know, day in and day out to keeping the monkey thing going. There's always the record company, of course, like Rhino Records currently right now has the catalog, and so they're, and I think they're wonderful. I think they've done a marvelous job with the catalog and stuff. But we haven't had this organization every day, you know, trying to keep the thing alive and going, blah, blah, blah. And so when it does happen, when it does come together, of course, it tends to be, you know, very organic, shall we say. It happens kind of naturally. There's an audience out there, and the promoter says, I think I can sell some dates, and we all decide, like I say, I couldn't go out any earlier, actually, this time, because I was directing that movie, for instance. But then, you know, everything falls together, and we go out, and it usually tends to be quite successful like that, too. And the show is great. It's getting, you know, funnily enough, it's just getting better and better. We're getting much more comfortable with it, and we do, of course, all the great Big Monkey hits, everyone in the world. And we do them in their entirety. There's no medleys. You know, we actually sing the whole song, and I kind of pride myself in really sticking to the original sounds and the original arrangements, because I really believe you have a contract with the audience to deliver that. And then for the alternate material, what we do is we, each of us individually, kind of go back into our mutual musical histories. And for instance, I'll do Johnny B. Goode, my audition piece for the Monkees, or something by Chuck Berry. Peter will do something from Little Richard, who was a huge influence in his life. Or Davey will do something from Oliver, which was the Broadway musical that he performed in on Broadway before the Monkees. And so we go back and touch, you know, a little bit of a touchstone, you know, go back and talk about some of the things that influenced us, like you just asked me. Well, I get asked that question a lot, so we incorporate that into the show. And also we'll pick Monkee album cuts that may be a little more obscure, but that has some, again, some significance to them.
But the fans will know them, you know?
Well, the fans will always know. And hopefully, if you're not familiar with the tune, you'll still enjoy it because of this connection, or because of it was written by, you know, say, Harry Nilsson's first song he ever had recorded, or something of that nature.
Now, I was at the show in Easton. It was your birthday, as a matter of fact. Back in March. And I say it was a great show. There's something for everyone, basically, in it, from children to adults, and you know, you get quite a varied audience, and it still must be exciting to see, like, young people in the crowd and so on.
It is. It's just amazing, in fact. You know, there's no accounting for taste, I guess. It is amazing, you know. It never ceases to amaze me, and it's I think a lot of it, of course, is that television show, which keeps running on and on and on.
It won't stop.
It won't stop. Please stop with the television show. It's a great show, and like I say, you know, it stands up over the years because it was written, you know, by really clever writers, and like the songs. I think that's the reason the songs stand up so well over the years, you know, because of those, mainly because of the writers, you know. They just so clever. And you know, Carole King and Neil Diamond, Harry Nilsson, these people don't write a lot of duff tunes, you know.
Right. Now, the Monkees, you're coming to the Bryce Jordan Center in State College, as we said earlier, July 1st.
Be there, be square.
Are you doing your dishes or something?
No, that's actually these furniture. We got these guys moving furniture, actually.
Oh, I see.
You can hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry about that.
It sounds like dishes. That's all right. And people can get info on that on our website, which is WKMCAM.com. Or they can contact the Bryce Jordan Center about tickets and so on. Or they can go to your site, which is
MickeyDolans.com.
Log in, log out, and turn off the computer. Man. So MickeyDolans.com. And there was talk, quickly here, there was talk of a Broadway show and a movie with the Monkees. Is that still a possibility?
Yes, absolutely. You know, we take meetings. I've been taking a few meetings, especially about a movie, which I would love to do. And, yeah, we definitely talk about that all the time.
Now, so, give,
We'll let you know.
Give me your best James Cagney.
All right, you dirty rat. This stinking interview is taking too long. I'm out of here.
All right, Mickey.
Later.
Well, it's been a pleasure, and I'm a big fan of yours. Thank you for taking some time today.
Thank you.